Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Hello and welcome once again to the Well-Fed Guide to Life, brought to you in part by HopChart.com. My name is Dave, with me as always is Evan. It's the last show before the apocalypse and we're going out with a bang, damn it.
Jesus.
Mine's really strong, I don't know about yours.
Mine's not really strong, but it's interesting.
Mine's got some stank on it.
I'm sure it does. Yeah.
We are at Union Restaurant and Rooftop Deck. I believe that's what it's called. It's Union Restaurant.
Union Restaurant.
But they actually have given like a separate name to their
to the deck,
because it's this automatic. It's like a retractable roof, for lack of a better term.
Uh huh.
In that it's an open air rooftop deck, like, and it's literally across the street from Seven, which we are big fans of.
Yeah, and it was actually funny. When we first walked in, I was a little worried we'd already been here and I just forgot.
No.
Because you might have been. Same logo. It's the same.
Thank you.
It's the same, like, lobby design as Seven.
Very, very similar. If you remember back, this used to be Schindler's.
You're right.
We could be actually in the porno section right now.
No, that.
Could you draw us a...
I probably could.
You paint us a word.
Not because I was ever back there, but just I was in the Schindler's quite a bit.
And by back there, you mean...
In the porno section.
Uh-huh.
Well, it had... By the time I had access to porno, there was much better porno sections available.
Mostly on the internet.
Well, yeah, mostly because the internet had been invented by that point.
Honestly, how are porno sections still around?
You know...
They should be rendered obsolete.
You would think. However... in the last decade, worked at a video store with a prominent porno section.
People still like doing that.
I have not extensively polled the people.
People still pay for it, that's the thing.
People still pay for it. Some people pay a lot.
Really?
For it. There was one particular guy that that was a regular. That every
is this story going to an ishy place?
Every month and a half or so, he would come in and clean us out.
No.
He would drop $200-$250 bucks in porno DVDs. And what was the real kicker, which made it entertaining, is first off, you had to put them all together, because you know when you've got a rental thing. You kind of break it up, you put the box in a protective case, then you put the DVD or the tape
right in
another case, and you know, sometimes, especially if there's DVDs, there's other inserts and things like that you gotta deal with. So, but at least the way we did it, when you bought it, you put everything back together. So you take everything out of the protective casings, put it back together. So he would come up with 30, 40 tapes or DVDs.
He had to have been there for 10, 15 minutes just doing that.
Oh, easy. And you're just sitting there, and you know, he'd come during the day, and...
Crowds are low.
Well, yeah, crowds are low, but inevitably, the only people that are also there are young families, you know, moms with their kids.
Sure.
So you're trying to, like, surreptitiously assemble a porn stash when you've got little six-year-olds running around.
Just trying to rent a Disney movie.
Exactly.
Great Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, Happy Scrappy Hero Pop. Mm-hmm. And
wow.
That's right.
I can't believe that's you dove way back.
I dug deep for that one.
If you can name, loyal listener, if you can name what movie that came from, I'll throw out a $10 gift card for the winner.
All right, yeah. Email us or leave a comment in the show notes.
You can get that reference, because that was deep.
That was a deep cut.
Yes, it was.
Anyway. So, but not only would we have to do that, but he had this little notebook where he tracked everything that he purchased so that he never doubled up.
That's weird.
He was efficient. And what was the best is we later found out...
Was his penis just down to a nub?
I never looked, so...
You didn't ask?
And I'd know. Like, no, with him, as nice a guy as he was, and like, you know, despite the fact that he was buying, like, triple digits of porn at a go...
Buying or renting?
Buying.
Really?
Like, he bought it for... Like, he cleaned us out of, like, our old stock.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, he must have had... like whole rooms dedicated to just the stuff he bought from us.
What does this guy look like?
You know, middle-aged guy. We found out he's actually an engineer, like a materials engineer. I won't say where. I know actually where he works, but I'm not going to say where.
Ladies, run for your life.
But no, that was the thing. Like, you'd think a guy like that would be like super skeevy or all that stuff. Super nice guy. You know, one of the best customers to work with. Like, he never raised a problem. There was a couple times when, you know, he didn't bring his notebook, and he ended up buying something he already had. So he'd come back and he's like, "I'm sorry."
I wonder if he was writing a paper.
I don't think so. That there was dedication there.
Recreational use.
I don't know.
To that level. Maybe he's just in it for the art. God, I hope so. Otherwise, wow.
I don't remember enough about his. What I do remember is that he seemed to have no... He seemed to be very open to everything.
No set.
He didn't have category. He didn't have any sort of... Any set. Yeah, exactly.
No, he was all over the board.
He was all over. He was an equal opportunity wanker.
Wow.
But again, super nice guy.
We salute you.
We salute you, sir.
Order guy.
Porno hoarder.
Porno hoarder. Thank you. So, back to...
back to the union.
Back to the union.
Back to the retractable roof. Yeah. Now, have you witnessed the retractable roof?
No. I have not.
Because...
I've heard lore and stories.
You've heard lore. Like, do you know, like, how long it takes to retract?
I heard a couple minutes.
Okay. See, that's good. That's
It's not
fine.
Like a transformer, and it's just like...
Well, I'm not expecting that, but that was always the really disappointing thing with, like, these stadiums that have the retractable roof. I want that thing to be open to close
a couple
minutes. I don't need this hours crap. Like, that's not impressive to me.
I want it to sound like Optimus Prime turning into a robot.
I'll accept that.
Yeah. It should come with fireworks.
Something.
And, you know, an orchestra playing along with it.
Something. Put on a little show, for God's sakes.
Exactly. But we're not there.
We're not there, no.
We're not upstairs. We weren't cool enough.
Apparently not.
We did not have pronounced jawbones enough to get upstairs.
But I have a very pronounced jawbone. It's just under all this fat.
Yeah, I know. So do I. I'm chiseled underneath this layer, you know, of stuff.
Winter blubber.
Exactly. We're fattening for the winter.
That's
the... I'm warm. I don't know about you.
I've been preparing for years.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when the apocalypse comes, you and I, set. We're totally ready.
No, I got it. No. I've spent a little bit of time, speaking of the apocalypse, with, you know, studying mythologies and things like that.
Right.
And I noticed that for most cultures... Apocalypses. Apocalypticuses.
Thank you.
Which I believe is a cousin of the Brontosaurus.
I'm pretty sure that character's on Dora the Explorer.
I'm not sure. It might be.
I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
He's her Greek cousin.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, the apocalypse always seems to be you have too much of something you already have.
Okay.
You know, I think, of course, you know, of, you know, like the Norse, like, you know, Vikings.
Okay.
Their apocalypse is just never-ending winter.
We're already in that.
Well, I know. So, my thinking is the Mayan apocalypse, since it was hot and muggy.
Yeah.
It's just going to be like global warming times 1,000.
I'd rather go the Norse way.
Well, be that as it may... I don't think our winter blubber will help us for the Mayan apocalypse.
We might lose some weight.
We might.
There's that.
There is that. But, you know, if this was Finbul winter, if this was fucking, you know, Norse mythology time, and, you know, the I can't remember his name, but the wolf eats the moon. You know, Vikings are crazy, man.
Okay.
But I'm saying we would be ready.
The moon. Okay.
What do you want from me? What are we drinking?
So we're celebrating Mad Men Christmas. Is really what we're getting at.
Mm-hmm.
It is our second annual Mad Men Christmas because, let's be honest, the first 2 years of the show, where we gave Christmas gifts on the show,
that never happened.
One person terribly outclassed the other, and even you could admit that.
The first year, yes.
Yes. What did I get? I got you all your favorite things. All of your favorite things. I got you meat. I got you candy.
Must we reopen this wound every year?
You got me bubblegum flavored Transformers soap.
How
dare you, sir?
There was a miscommunication as to the intent of the gifts. I thought this was more of a gag gift realm. I was wrong. I admit that.
I got you Mountain Dew.
We should move on.
I got you different types of Mountain Dew.
We should move on. You need to get over it.
But last year, we iterated the John Hamm Christmas / Mad Men Christmas.
That's right. Which, if memory serves, you came up with the term for it. It was Mad Men Christmas.
Yes.
You all right there?
Gotta get some water. Not quite over the point. But the idea was is that we could even the playing field by getting something. You know, I'm sure you were appreciative of the gifts that I gave you.
Yeah, I was.
You were very thoughtful.
I was.
And I threw yours away. But be that as it may, we needed to level the playing field. And we were both griping last year about, you know, how we were tired of getting gifts that didn't really matter. Or just not gifts that we didn't use, couldn't use.
Yeah.
We couldn't get enjoyment out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we decided, well, what do we love? Well, we love food. Oftentimes, we give food, but that's just meh. What do we really want?
The problem with food is that, even if it's amazing food, now, like, my in-laws, they're from Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
so every year we get a nice gift package of Usingers.
Okay.
So sausages and cheese, and it's all fantastic.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's also a bit of a ticking time bomb.
Right.
You know, that's a gift that you got to whip through in, you know, you got a couple weeks,
exactly.
Tops.
So our idea was, we're going to give liquor. We're going to give booze. It's a John Hamm Christmas. Named after the aforementioned show Mad Men.
Yes.
Where they love to booze it up.
They do.
We decided we're going to give moderate to premium spirits.
Something beyond what you would get in a college dorm,
for example. Exactly. There will be no Sky Vodka given.
No Grey Goose.
No Grey Goose. No.
Really, no vodka, period.
No vodka, period. Neither one of us likes vodka. Well,
no.
I'll drink it. I'm not going to turn it down.
Yeah.
But the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Something that if it's really good, it's not going to last very long on the shelf. You know, just pound it through. So the idea is that last year when we did Mad Men Christmas, we went to Tondo in Bloomington.
Yep.
Not apropos. We didn't have a great
ambiance.
Not a great ambiance or drink menu.
I remember liking it, but
it's very good.
But it wasn't like
food was very good.
It wasn't an occasion.
Right. Yeah. You know, now we decided we're going to class up Mad Men Christmas and drink at a place where they're known for the cocktails. So
yes.
We got some very good handcrafted cocktails, very strong handcrafted
cocktails. I don't know if mine's terribly strong.
Are you sure? Because when there's no ice and it's that small, you might have trouble standing up in a minute.
That's entirely
possible. It could hit you by the end. There's still half that drink left. It could hit you like a ton of bricks.
It very well could.
Kind of hope it does.
Well, I'm not driving, so I don't really care.
I know, but it's kind of funny to watch you kind of loopy. It's just me.
I won't deny that.
All right. Anyway, I got the OC Moss, which in translation is Oh Yes More.
Yes.
Spanish. 3 years. High school.
And And you successfully translated two of those three words, because one of them's just O.
Yes. But it is ancho-infused reposado tequila and plum lemon sour. And it is as good.
Plum lemon sour?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, God. Yes.
Enjoying it.
Thank you. Do you remember what those are stuffed with?
No, I don't. She took the...
Yeah. But it is awesome. It is kicking my ass already. I'm already feeling it.
Can I try it?
It is a little spicy.
I'm a tequila man.
Right. It is a little spicy, so beware. The ancho, you can definitely taste it. It's not up front, but it burns coming down. That's what she said.
That's stupid.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
That's all right.
I could do about 18, 19 of those bad boys.
Yeah, and you're right. It's not terribly spicy, but it's got a little bit of kick to it.
Right.
All right. What I'm drinking, you know, the thing about this place is what seems to be the norm is not only are they going to do craft cocktails, but they're going to give them silly names.
Right.
So we've got examples here. Like the devil in the bottle.
Right.
Which is actually an interesting idea. It's a garam masala infused rum.
Really hot.
Yeah, with blood orange. With blood orange, so it's an old fashioned. But what I got was something called The Killing of a Chinese Bookie. Which is a house infused six spice.
Not five spice.
Not five spice. Five plus one.
Ah.
XO brandy, so it's a little, if my memory serves, it's a little higher up than a typical brandy.
I believe so.
So you've got somewhat higher quality brown brandy with a Quince lemon sour.
Quince.
I always thought it was Quince.
Pretty sure it's Quince.
Well, Quince, whatever. It is bizarre. It's good, but it's bizarre. The six spice is really, it's almost like a, it's not quite like a toddy or anything like that. It's not like, you know, like a cinnamon Christmas drink kind of thing.
Right.
But I mean, it's very obviously Asian. The lemon flavors and the citrus flavors that they're using add to the Asianness of it. Asianosity.
Those are not sweet, by the way.
I know, they are savory.
I know, but just, I thought it was sweet, so the first one was a little, the first bite was a little off for me. But I like them. I don't know why I like them.
Oh, yeah, baby.
But I like them. I don't know what the hell's in them.
Well.
We got an order of donut holes, which is on their snacks menu.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say that's an appetizer size.
Yeah, it was six, roughly meatball size.
Right.
Donut holes.
Yep.
They are filled with a kind of cheese. I want to say it's Wolkenmeister. It's close to that.
Okay. I thought you were making up the word.
No. But there's also a little bit of bacon in there. These are...
It's like a Parmesan dipping sauce.
Yeah, it's like a Parmesan little dipping sauce to it. These are outstanding.
These are
extremely good.
I would polish off six of those, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they included enough dipping sauce.
Yeah, the dipping sauce to dippable is a good ratio.
That's really good.
They're less... They almost give more the impression of like a wonton. Now, I mean, obviously not in texture, but in terms of the flavors that you're getting... You know, meat and cheese and things like that.
I can see that.
You know.
That fried, meaty, cheesy.
Yeah, I'm going to have this last one.
Yeah, it's all yours.
But they are extremely good.
I think it's got a little bit of like truffle salt or truffle powder on the outside.
It's possible.
Because if you lick your fingers afterwards, you get that.
There's a definite salt in there somewhere.
Yes, there's something really quite tasty.
Yeah.
Oh. We'll figure that out.
But, you know, as a donut hole or as a pastry...
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they're clearly fried, but not overly so.
Light.
They're light. It's probably like a cake donut kind of dough to it. So
I dug it.
It was very good.
I like that a lot.
I'm gonna be unclassy and
I don't care.
Stick my finger in the
sauce. I wish you would have licked it first, so that way I could have had some.
You can still have some.
Well, because I still have the plague.
Well, that just means I can't have some after you do.
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Okay.
We also got some bread.
Bread.
Nice little loaf. I kind of dug it too. I'm always worried when there's
when there's
oats on on a loaf. I hate that.
Oats on
a loaf.
Yeah. It's good. Good bread. Warm.
It was very good bread.
Soft.
Yep.
I have no complaints.
Oh.
We're off to a smashing start.
We are. This is so far so good.
So should we do the gifting of exchange?
Do you want to do that now? Let's do that before we get to food.
Okay. So
you want me to do first?
You got to open yours first.
All right.
Because, like normal, I actually wrapped mine, and you, sir, did not.
Now, there.
And I don't even know. Well, I need to preface this. I'm not sure. I think you might actually already own this.
Oh, okay.
But if you don't, I scored one. But if you do, I'm sorry. You'll probably already enjoy more of it.
It's all right. I do want to say, now, granted, my official excuse for not wrapping yours was because I've been extremely busy.
Yeah, well, people are busy, but they always make time to wrap things for the holidays.
The second part of it is I have always, I'm not one for for bureaucracy.
Right.
And I consider wrapping holiday bureaucracy.
Uh-huh.
So.
Shut up and open your present.
I'm doing you a favor.
Are you?
I'm
now?
Cutting out.
Is that
I'm,
what you're
I'm
doing?
Cutting a middle layer.
I'm pretty
cutting
sure you
through
picked
the red
up,
tape.
I'm pretty sure you picked up my gift on the way home.
That is not true.
I'm pretty sure you did.
No.
So what'd you get?
I got some absinthe with the traditional absinthe
yes,
spoon,
you did.
Which is nice. And no, I do not have any of this.
Now, I need to preface this in that this wasn't home more than 5 or 6 minutes before. Both my girlfriend and I decided that needed to be wrapped because the box is creepy.
The box is a little creepy. It's the absente absinthe, which has the four-eyed, three-mouthed Van Gogh.
Yes.
On it, so it is creepy. This is very exciting. So I was actually talking with my wife.
Yes.
About. Absinthe recently, and how she's never had it, but she's always been kind of scared to try it.
Now you two can try it together.
Now we can try it. I mean, I can finally start.
And you can do it properly too.
I could do it properly. But again, you know, that's something. I mean, I've done absinthe before and properly. It's really more the. It's really more the tradition than any sort of helpful thing, which again, to me is just bureaucracy.
Right.
And given the arguments that I have had at work the last few days, bureaucracy is my enemy.
Okay.
So, but I thank you for this. This is very good. I'm excited for this. And what I like about absinthe is it does not fuck around.
No.
It's 55% alcohol.
110 proof.
110 proof. I like this. Please drink with extreme caution.
Oh my. Thank you.
Oh. Can we get another menu real quick?
Food menu?
Yeah, food menu.
Mine's artsy.
Mine is artsy as well.
Yeah. So two of the more artsy plates we've ever had on the show.
Yeah, I would say so.
Like,
if we were smart, we'd take a picture.
No, we're not. We wouldn't know what we're eating.
I should have asked for fries with mine. Just
I was
to
thinking
see.
About that, actually.
Just to see.
We know what this is missing.
Coleslaw. Chips. Yeah. Cool. No, I was thinking maybe a barbecue chip. Something along those lines.
I was thinking that, you know. This is missing a Diet Coke, is really what this is missing.
A Diet Coke, yes.
In a can.
Yeah, of course. So, while we're waiting for that,
right.
I'm going to give you yours. Now, there's a card in this bag.
A card?
It's not for you, though.
No, because
no.
You picked this up on the way home.
No, but I need you to sign the card.
From... Oh, you do? It,
yes, I need you to sign the
card. Do I get both things in this bag?
You get both things in the bag,
do
other
I?
Than the card.
Do I have to bring one out before the other?
You can pick the order.
Okay.
It's right, so, it's your day.
It is my day. Every day is my day.
Every day is your day.
As my ex-wife used to say, or remind me of all the time. All right, so I'm going to set this
Except
down
she called you a pretty, pretty princess
I am.
Beforehand.
I am.
And you are at least right. two of those three things.
I got fireworks.
No, you did not get fireworks.
What did I get? I got salami. Wow.
Two kinds of salami.
Wow. Very good,
and sir. But fitting with the Mad Men tradition,
yes.
It is liquor-infused salami.
It is liquor-infused. Chianti-infused and Prosecco-infused salami. This won't last more than a day.
I wouldn't expect
it. I might
it.
Actually bring this for lunch tomorrow.
Just sitting at your desk.
Yes.
Chewing on a big stick of meat.
Yeah.
Like you've been secretly
stick.
Wanting
like
to.
Like a Slim Jim, basically. Yes. So I got that. That's awesome. Thank you. I am impressed.
You should be.
And the I can't even pronounce it.
There's a pronunciation on the back.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, okay. In the little write-up. It's like Atakshun or something.
Akuntashun.
Akuntashun.
Akuntashun. We have a single malt Scotch whiskey.
And I believe that is a 12-year.
A triple distilled.
You're welcome. Are you good at cocktails for
free?
Yeah.
Doesn't
actually say, but
I could have sworn it. Give me this back.
But I like my scotch like I like my women, aged 12 years.
Well, it said 12 year on the sign next to where I bought it. So I know you're a big whiskey fan.
A big scotch.
A big scotch fan.
Yes. Yes. So between the scotch and meat,
you're set.
I'm set. It's been a good man. It's been a good man.
It's been very good. Very good. So now that we got a menu,
right,
we can tell what the hell we got.
Right.
First off, the going back to the donut bowls.
Yes.
It's shallots, bacon, and Vosterbotten cheese. So okay. I was very close.
You're closer than I thought you were.
Yeah. And Vosterbotten cheese. So very good on that. What I got. I went with the chicken, which is an herb roasted with a soft baked celery root and a brown buttermilk caramel.
All right.
So I have no idea what I think this is the celery root right here. I have no idea what half this stuff is, but I'm curious. We got a little. Oh.
Is that the caramel?
No, that's just I think that's just fried salt.
Awesome. Woo-hoo. I got the veal breast. It's braised veal. And then it's shaped back into a
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow.
Everything so far?
Very good.
Very good.
So I have like a veal patty?
Yeah. From this distance in the lighting, it looks almost like a meatloaf.
It is kind of like a meatloaf. It's got it's a tomato-based sauce, but it's kind of like a tomato cream sauce. And then it's got white... They're white. They're called white beans, but they're bigger than any other bean I've ever seen.
The biggest bean you've ever seen?
Right. Or one of the bigger beans I've ever seen. Either way, it's incredibly hearty.
It looks like it.
Just very homey flavors. I mean, mm-hmm. I think looking at the dish, it was very elaborately laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Just in how it was presented. But just as is, it has a very, very familiar feel to it, like braised beef does.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it. It's very, very good.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of my my celery root. It said it's salt baked. What really it is, it's roasted or baked, however, I mean, they're not that different apart from each other. But it's just this side of raw.
Okay.
So it's still got that heft to it and the crunch to it. But I mean, it's not like overdone where it's not burnt or anything. It's just cooked just enough where they can't say it's raw. But very, very good.
I have my first experience with celery root. Continue with your explanation, but
no, go ahead.
I just cooked celery root for the first time a couple weeks ago, and I kind of like that. It's a kind of a root vegetable-y, crunchy, almost. It's kind of like a steamed root vegetable.
It is.
Which I know it sounds odd, but it works.
And I have no idea what salt baking does.
Right.
But the effect is kind of unleashing a lot of the kind of roasted flavors.
Okay.
Without, because one of the downsides, I don't even think this is a downside, but one of the standard effects of roasting something where it starts to lose hardness, it starts to get soft, it loses a little bit of structure. Where this, it's got some of the same flavors, but it's keeping the crunchiness to it. So, but I got, there's a little bit of, I want to say it's some sort of like whipped potato or something as the base of this. Very, very tasty. The chicken is excellent. The chicken is outstanding.
I've had a debate on occasion about ordering chicken in a restaurant.
Okay.
Because it's so readily available just to make at home.
Okay.
And oftentimes can become a default meal.
Okay.
And I've discovered that it's okay to order chicken in a restaurant more recently, just in terms of just being able to have it so well done that even on your best day at home, it's probably not going to come out that well.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I like that argument that you made, even though you've just contradicted. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Just because, for exactly the reason you pointed out, I've actually heard other people make similar arguments where, why would I have even, like, you know, I've heard it with burgers as well. Like, why would I have a burger? Why would I order a burger at a nice restaurant when I could have steak or a veal chop or something like that? But my current argument is basically exactly what you just said. There's still a level of skill that goes into it that most people aren't going to even find.
Yep.
So yeah, I have no problems ordering a chicken or anything like that.
I don't now, but I definitely went through a period where I basically looked through the menu and chicken was like the last thing I wanted. Well, the same way with burgers. For instance, we're right across the street from the Capitol Grill. Great steak place. Excellent steak place. Not ideal to go there for lunch because it's so goddamn expensive.
Yeah.
But my guess is they do a burger that's probably second to none. So it's completely acceptable to order a burger at that time. The other thing I was worried about with this place was because of how the menu was laid out, I was afraid that the entrees were going to be skimpy portions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is that we're going to come to the table and then we'd ask to see the menu again. I don't see that being a problem.
No.
I think we definitely made the right choice on the appetizer.
But that was just, whoa, there's all the alcohol.
Maybe you should have swished that around.
Maybe I should have. Oh, baby. No, I mean, the donut holes, that's just... You know, it's a good thing they were good, because they were just the default anyway, because where else are you going to get donut holes? Did I just spill?
No.
Oh.
But in your sloppy drunkenness, you're making...
But, I mean, it's a good thing they're good. And that's always the concern with a place like this, where they do kind of a gimmick appetizer or a gimmick dish. You know, and it kind of goes back to what you were saying about chicken, is you still got to do well with it. Gimmicks don't, you know, they're not good enough on their own.
And I think that stands, you know, that goes across the board, especially with a restaurant like this where people are coming here because of that damn rooftop thing.
Yeah.
The food is actually, you come for the food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Monday night. It's getting busy in here.
It is.
This is a new restaurant.
Yeah, it hasn't been open for more than a month.
A couple months?
Yeah. Okay.
Couple months.
Well, yeah. We should point out that last week, the place we went to, Rachel's.
Yes. You said that. Your mistake.
I know.
Not
I'm,
mine.
I'm copping to it. Uh-huh. It's fine. I thought it'd only been open to the public for a few months. Apparently, it's been open to the public for a year and a half. So it shows what I know.
I love Dead Baby Animal. So how was your weekend?
You know, it's a good show, and we're just sitting and we're just eating.
I know, and mooning.
Yeah.
Mooning.
My week went... Let's try that again. My weekend was actually pretty good. It's actually my birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I actually did mean to wish you a happy birthday tomorrow.
It's fine, no big deal.
No, I usually forget.
I still can't remember yours.
I know you don't.
It's May sometime. Or March.
I at least get the month right.
Look, I share my birth month with Jesus. Who do you share your birth month with? Nobody. So, you can't blame me. Anyway, but knowing that my birthday is on a Tuesday.
It's an unbirthday anyway.
Yeah. So we kind of turned the weekend into a birthday thing. I had some people over on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we had all three crock pots going.
The crock pots are blazing.
Which was awesome. I made a cheddar bacon dip, which was basically the most unhealthy thing I've eaten in months.
I have a recipe for you then.
Okay,
continue.
Then we made basically Italian beef sandwiches.
Nice.
And what we did was we didn't use like a... We did primarily ground meat.
That's not Italian meat.
But we did roughly thirds of ground beef, hot Italian sausage, and mild Italian sausage.
Okay.
And we mixed in the peppers and the onions and all that stuff, and we just cooked that in there.
Okay.
It was outstanding.
Okay.
It was ridiculous, actually, how good it was. So yeah, we did that. And then Saturday night I went and saw The Hobbit.
Yeah, and your take?
Hold that thought. Because, so Saturday night I went because some friends of mine were going.
Okay.
But Heather didn't want to go. Because it was a late night show. And she just finished classes forever. Like, she's done with grad school classes. All she's got left is her final test. All
right.
So she's taking as much opportunity as she can is to just be as lazy as possible.
Which is what you've done most of your life.
Exactly. But so I would be wrong to deny her what I have.
True.
Yeah. So So she didn't want to go then, but she wanted to go see The Hobbit. So we went again the next day. So I went and saw it one time in like the regular 2D, 24 frames a second.
Is she still doing well?
Yes, very good. Just, you know, bog standard version. And then the following day, went to go see it in the 3D high def.
Not IMAX.
48 frames. It's high def.
No, IMAX.
Not IMAX, no. But 48 frames a second, whole shooting match. So I've seen it in just about every form you can, other than IMAX, which I don't think I'm missing anything with the IMAX.
Okay.
Because I've never been a fan of IMAX on movies, like theatrical movies.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
I've never been impressed with it, but
we had a few choices.
That said,
hi, how are you?
No, I'm fine. That piece of the final piece of chicken was a bit chewier than I was expecting. The Hobbit is.
Thank you.
The Hobbit is a fine, fine film.
Okay.
I recommend it heartily. I don't think anyone is missing anything by not seeing it in 3D.
Okay.
And the 48 frames a second thing, it's a little weird.
Okay, so I heard it described as it has a weird TV movie feel to it.
There are parts of it. Oh yeah, please do. There are parts of it that feel like a PBS special.
Like a Downton Abbey, an episode of Downton Abbey?
Not, no, I'm talking like kids special. Something that was shot in the 80s.
Really?
Yeah. There's just there's a weird, like super clear vibe to it. And it takes a little getting used to. Like, that was what I thought. It felt like a PBS special you'd watch in, like, school. It doesn't look shitty. It's just a little off. And, like, it's a little disconcerting just because it's so clear. And like, if you look at still shots, you really don't you really can't grasp how odd it is.
Okay.
Because you just look at a still shot, and it's just a really, really clear picture.
Right.
Great.
Right.
But it's when they move around. Like, for a long time, for about the first 45 minutes of the movie, I almost got up twice because I thought they were playing the movie too fast. Like, there were some actions, it wasn't like obvious, but there's some actions that seemed faster than I remembered from the night before.
God.
And it was the same running time and all that, so right. I mean, it wasn't
but you're faster. Playing tricks on you a little bit.
Yeah, it takes a while to get used to. After a while.
Alrighty. Thank you.
You know, after a while you get used to it and it's not that big of a deal. But you really see it in the stuff that's in the Shire.
Okay.
You know, because everything's very green and bright and open.
Right.
And it's just like, Lush. Oh my god, this looks like a Wishbone special.
A Wishbone special?
You don't remember Wishbone?
No, I have no idea what that was.
It was the dog. It was the little dog that where they would do like they'd talk about books. You don't remember that?
Not a bit. For me, that was called Reading Rainbow.
No, this was later. We were probably in high school.
Why were you still watching that one?
I married a librarian. I didn't watch it until much later. I didn't really see it until much later.
Is that really what you're going with for an excuse?
Yeah, because it's the truth.
Okay.
But, you know, I am... So, all right. It's a good movie. I like the people involved. I think Martin Freeman, I just will watch. Wrong. I'll watch anything he's in. He doesn't have a huge range as an actor.
No.
But when he's in his wheelhouse, he's always entertaining. Ian McKellen be looking old.
Yeah.
And he looks really old in super high def.
I bet. I bet. Prostate cancer will do that too.
He didn't have cancer, did he?
Yes, too, yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
He's had it for like 6 years.
Really?
But it refuses to get it treated.
Dude's in his 80s.
Right.
So it's like, he's let it, he had a good run.
The no amount of wizarding magic is going to bring him back.
No.
But yes, he has had a good run.
Yeah, no shit. Richard Armitage, who is Thorin.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Like, I really like him. They made some changes to the character from the books. The one criticism I heard is that they kind of Aragorned him, where they gave
made
him this,
too heroish.
Not too heroish, but they made the rationale for the adventure in the book. It was basically like, bitch stole my money. You know what I mean? Like, dragon stole our hoard. Let's go get it back.
Yeah.
In the movie, it's much more about reclaiming your homeland and all of that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so it's a different kind of vibe to it.
They took a few liberties with the book.
I don't know if it's a few liberties. I think they just changed it. You know, I really wonder if you can do an epic story where the sole goal is to just go get your money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Like,
yeah. Yep.
Like, I don't, like, I'm trying to think of ones where, like, movies that are, the there isn't some sort of emotional connection to the goal. It's just you're getting it. And the only ones I can think of are things like, you know, Guy Ritchie's crime movies.
Right.
And, you know,
I know what you're getting.
You know, those kind of, you know, more fun action-y movies.
Yeah.
It's hard to do an epic where...
Or a serious epic.
A serious,
where it's bitch, go get my money.
The other thing is, this is definitely sillier than Lord of the Rings.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
there's...
With the amount of small people in it.
It's not even that. There's more, I don't want to say cutesy dialogue.
Okay.
But there's more winking kind of dialogue to it. Like, there's more... It's
they're
a lot
more...
They're
not breaking the fourth wall, are they?
No, but it's a lot more fun.
Okay.
Can
you see this? Because, again, this is going into the third... They're doing three movies with this. Do you see it going darker? I would hope...
Did you want to do it?
I don't think so.
No. Thank you. I mean, it will go darker, and the efforts that they have to make in order to really tie this into the Lord of the Rings,
yep,
we'll kind of force it along that route.
Has to.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be as dark as that as Lord of the Rings, but this one, I mean,
and even Lord of the Rings wasn't necessarily dark.
There were definite parts.
There were definite parts, but it was never destitute.
I think there's a difference between like destitute and dire.
Yeah, I could see towards the end of the third movie, yeah, there was some direness, but
yeah,
but never peril. Well, there was peril, but I don't know where I'm going with this. But
it wasn't apocalyptic,
right? Okay.
You know.
Okay.
And this is even less so.
Okay.
I do think it runs at 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Back at lunch.
But I don't. It didn't feel that long when I saw it.
Compare it to, the last movie I saw that hit the 2:40 barrier was Batman.
Nice. And then this is just so you can get a little updates about our, if we change our menu, birthday anniversary, you get a coupon for. Not sure what yet. Probably a drink.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
But like, Dark Knight Rises was the last movie that went that long ass running time.
Mm-hmm.
That waited at like 2:40 something.
Okay.
That I thought went by unbelievably fast.
Yeah.
I'm worried that because it's so the way you just described it, that it would be very, very slow for me.
There's definite complaints that it goes a little slow. One of the big complaints is the open, like the before they leave,
yeah,
on the quest is a little slow. I think people that think that are crazy.
Okay.
Just because you gotta set shit up.
Right.
And in part of it is before, I mean, it's probably a good 10 minutes, 10-15 minutes before you even see Martin Freeman.
Okay, that's odd.
You know, because, well, and it's because they have to set it up as a connection to Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
You know, because, I mean, the whole opening scene is basically what is going on at the very beginning of Lord of the Rings when, and be, like, the kind of the prologue scene right before it gets to Martin Freeman,
right.
It ends with Elijah Wood going to meet Gandalf on the road to the birthday party,
okay.
Which is the very beginning of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
okay. So they had to add this part to tie it together.
Do we see any of Ian Holm as...
Yeah, he's in the beginning and the end. Okay. He's not in the end, but he's in the beginning.
Okay.
And... So yeah, you see that. So if I had any complaints about it, I have two complaints about the movie. Neither of which will make a ton of sense until you've seen the movie, but I don't think I'm going to spoil anything. One is that the stuff that they added was more to help it tie into the Lord of the Rings stuff than it was to help the story, like the main Hobbit story.
Yeah.
And part of that is just a function of the fact that The Lord of the Rings came first in the movies, but the book came before Lord of the Rings.
Right.
You know, The Hobbit came before Lord of the Rings, the books. So some of the stuff that they're alluding to in The Hobbit, they actually get fleshed out more because when he finally wrote Lord of the Rings, he built on the stuff that he'd set up in The Hobbit.
Okay.
So, like, there's this whole thing with the necromancer.
Right.
Okay. It's like a passing mention in The Hobbit.
Right.
But it's a major plot point and the subject of like two wholly new scenes in this. So I think and part of that, I mean, I understand why they do it, but it's one of those where it's like I could have done without it, I guess. I don't know.
How did our bad guy du jour do? Our Benedict Cumberbatch.
He's barely in it.
I know, he's just a voice.
He's not even a voice.
He's not?
No.
He's supposed to be the voice of the necromancer.
He is, but you can't understand a word he says.
Okay.
It's just like kind of echoing in the back. Like you can't make out a damn word he says.
Okay.
I don't know why he got a credit. I could have done
paycheck.
That. I could have done that
paycheck.
Credit. Well, that means, I don't know why they gave him a credit.
Okay.
No, the big bad guy is this big ass orc. Who's another one that they reference in the book, but they never talk, they never really go about it. They just say, oh, this character from the past was killed by Azog the Orc.
Okay.
Like, that's the entirety of the mention in the book.
But here, they flesh out.
Here, he's a full character with a backstory and a long battle scene and all this stuff.
Okay.
So there is that. And I don't think that's a huge deal. I think the stuff they added... will end up paying off more as the series goes.
Okay.
But now it just seems like, all right, whatever.
Will you still see the next two movies?
Oh, yeah. But I don't think... I think this is definitely not going to get the awards buzz that Lord of the Rings did.
No. But if you keep in mind that Return of the King was, I mean, a third one in the first...
True.
First trilogy was really the one that brought home everything.
That's true.
So, could you see this getting better as it goes?
I could, you know.
Not falling on the ruined prequel notion that Star Wars.
Oh, there's definitely. I would think there are
the jumping of the shark.
There are some connections. There are some.
Okay.
There are some. What's the word I'm looking for? Some analogs. To Phantom Menace.
Scary comparisons?
Yeah, there are some. There's a character named Radagast.
Okay.
Who is in Lord of the Rings, but more in the Silmarillion, never in The Hobbit.
Right.
He shows up, and he's not in it very long, which is good.
Right.
But he's got definite kind of Jar Jar-ish.
Oh.
Where he's not annoying, but he's one of those that's just, he's just odd.
Okay, so did they go the same route and... I'll try to wrap it up with my final line of questions.
I don't know. Let me look at how much time we got.
I don't know how much time we got.
Yeah, we should probably wrap it up here.
I'll wrap it up with this. Did they go the route the way that they designed Phantom Menace was, they designed it essentially as a kid's movie. So the trilogy could grow with...
I think
with the viewer.
Yes and no.
So let's say the ideal viewer of this movie is probably a 12 to 13 year old boy.
I'd say that's fair.
So by the time the next movie comes out, next year?
It's next year.
Yeah, okay.
I mean that's where the Star Wars thing kind of fails, because there was a couple of years in between movies.
Right.
Same with like Harry Potter, same thing.
And they did, but they didn't. To me, in the Star Wars movies, they didn't age the audience enough. The second
movie.
I completely get where they went with the first movie. The second movie should have been dark as fuck. Honestly.
Okay.
And then the third one should have been darker than that.
Yeah.
So.
You know, it's tricky. I mean, I don't think they're doing this to help the audience grow, just because it's going to be, because the difference between movies is short. I do think that they are taking advantage of the fact that this is a smaller story, a more, by and large, lighthearted story. It's more of like a straight-up adventure story than this is a dark and heavy war story, you know, that Lord of the Rings was.
Right.
This is just a straight-up, you know, fantasy adventure.
Okay.
And they're having more fun with it. You know, I think the real kind of test to that is the Goblin Town scene.
Okay. Spoiler alert.
If you've read the book, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, I'm not going to go into what they do, but there's things in there that they're definitely aimed at that 12-year-old kind of thing. I mean, and it's violent. I mean, there's decapitations and...
Fart humor?
And limbs. There's no real toilet humor. I mean, the Great Goblin is kind of gross. But, you know, not like... there's no, like, fart jokes or anything like that. But just some of the lines and some of the action, it's a little more silly.
Okay.
And I don't think that's a bad thing, but it's...
It's different.
What I think... And this will be my final thought on it. All the people that complain about how there isn't enough material in the main book for three movies, and how he added the third movie just because he knows it's going to make money, and he's a greedy bastard, da 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 da. First complaint about that line of thinking is that I've seen how Peter Jackson dresses. The man does not want a lot of money,
and he truly cares about his craft, because have you seen the way he lets himself go?
Exactly.
Holy Hannah.
I know.
He looked like crap on Colbert. You see?
Yeah, that was the one I missed was that one.
Oh my god, he looked, the gastric bypass didn't work anymore.
Did he get fat again?
Oh, he got fat again.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. Bloated.
You know what though?
He looks like he ate Peter Jackson again.
He's like Jonah Hill. He's got a fat skull, so he looks sick when he's thin.
But even now, he looks terrible.
Well, okay.
I get what you're saying with Jonah Hill thing.
Yeah, no, Jonah Hill just looks wrong.
He's skinny, he looks wrong.
Yeah, he looks, it's just, no. You need to be fat.
He needs to find a happy medium somewhere.
I think he was, I didn't think he looked terribly unhealthy, you know, and like super bad or anything like that.
I think he looked bad and super bad.
Really? Anyway,
sorry.
But the reason why I think it went to three movies, I think it got signed off by the studio as being three movies because they knew it was going to make a shit ton of money.
Exactly.
But I don't think that was his rationalization. What I think, looking at the stuff that they brought in and how everything was done, and having watched the appendices from all of the extended editions, and seeing the level of detail that they went into with all of the stuff.
How much money can we make on DVD sales?
No, what I think it is this is what happens when you give nerds a huge budget. They're going to do as much as they can because they can. And because they're nerds about the material. You know? I think of that. I think of John Carter.
Yeah.
Which did horrible, but in part because the guy behind it was a huge nerd for the John Carter series.
Right.
And it hurt its more general appeal potential.
Which really is what is going to intrigue me about the new set of Star Wars movies coming out.
Yeah.
Can they get somebody that can manage the nerd budget?
I don't even think you need to manage the nerd budget. I think I think being a nerd for the stuff is a good thing.
Right. But can you temper your nerddom
Yeah.
to tell a good story?
Yeah, there is that. So I don't think Peter Jackson's doing it for mercenary reasons. I think it's more just he loves this world and he's going to play in his sandbox as long as he can.
Right. I got three more years to do this.
Exactly.
I'm probably going to die after that.
Yeah.
Massive heart attack.
Yeah. So, bottom line, I think it's worth seeing.
Okay.
I don't think you're missing anything by not seeing it 3D.
Okay.
I haven't really dug the 3D more than I did. But,
I'm getting more used to going to 3D. I was really against for a long time. I was really against going to see 3D movies. And I think Avengers did a lot for me to sway me in the other. Because I thought that was just really, really well done 3D. But I'm with you. I'm on the bandwagon.
I'm very against doing... It's weird. Like... I think of, like, the days in, like, the 50s when it was, like, the era of gimmick movies, like, horror movies. I think of, my favorite example is a movie called The Tingler, which...
That wasn't what that guy rented from the videos.
No. See if you love this for a crazy premise. It's a haunted spinal cord that strangles people.
All right.
It was Vincent Price in the 50s. But the gimmick in the theaters was they had, like, stuff under the seats that someone in the screen was like, oh, it's the Tingler, and somebody would pull something under the seat. So, like, random people would feel something move under them. So you'd see, like, people jumping throughout the theater.
Sure.
Like, that was, like, the heyday of gimmicky movies. For those kind of things, go all out. But for, like, serious movies that are supposed to be held up on their own merits, like, drop the gimmicks. Like, yeah. I didn't think Avatar was served by 3D.
I didn't like Avatar, so...
I didn't mind Avatar, but, you know, I didn't think the 3D added anything to it.
I don't see myself actually going to see Avatar, the next one, whenever...
Avatar 2?
Eight years from now when James Cameron has run out of money.
So, no, I definitely think it was worth it. And my final thought is I hope that Richard Armitage gets the career boost that Viggo Mortensen did. Because that guy's awesome.
Okay.
And I hope he does more work.
Okay.
Anyway, final thoughts on Union.
I liked it. I thought the donut holes were exceptional. I liked my dish quite a bit. It was very hearty, very homey, very wholesome. Almost a kind of a northern Italian country meal.
Oh, okay.
It had that type of flavor. It's not the tomato cream sauce is very familiar, but and not overpowering. It just played well with everything. I love the white beans in there. It was a nice change of starch. You know, it wasn't on a bed of mashed potatoes or mashed. Insert starch here.
Yeah.
I like that change of starch. It made for a very protein-filled dish as well.
Yeah.
The veal was done perfectly.
It looked good. I thought about stealing some. But
it was very good. I don't know. I probably would have cut you. But it was not heavy, and I feel good leaving. Like, I feel like I'm not stuffed and like, oh, God, I just ate way too much food. I thought it was great. Really, really enjoyed my cocktail. I really have no complaints. I can see this place becoming very, very busy. Especially with the pre-Twins game crowd.
Really, game I think crowd. So.
I think that they could do, especially with their snack menu at that rooftop. Absolutely.
See, I think this feels a little more fancy than a Twins game, pre-Twins game kind of thing.
I think it's less fancy than 7.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think for that reason, it will do good business.
I can see that. What I like about this place is it has that air of a fancy place. I wouldn't want to be t-shirt and jeans in here.
No.
But it's not pretentious. It's good quantity or a good portion size.
Yeah, that was.
You know, my chicken very well done. You know, it had skin on, which I appreciate. The celery root was again a nice change on the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just overall, it was just really good. The donut holes were fantastic. And I think that's what makes this place win. It is a little pricey. The sharing plates... Beware the sharing plates because you pay per person.
Right.
And I'm assuming they scale it, but...
Right. I would hope so,
but, you know, their meat plate was $12 a person.
Well, that better be a sizable meat plate.
Yeah. Like, that could get ridiculous. We didn't have that, obviously, so we're just guessing.
But judging off what we did order, I would be back.
I would, too. You know, I think, you know, to me, given the location, you know, right on Hennepin, it's less a Twins game place, more of a going out to the theater, going out to see a show, something like that.
Happy hour for work.
Happy hour for work would be, I mean, the cocktails were very good.
They have a decent beer selection.
They had a decent beer selection. A good, lively, large bar. So, yeah, I think this place has got great potential. I hope it does well. You know, the last tenant of this location was here for a good 30, 40 years. And, you know, I could see that with this place.
We'll see how that just does.
We'll see how it goes.
Could be interesting. Yes.
So next week, are we going to try to do New Belgium?
New Bohemia?
New Bohemia.
I would hope so.
Okay.
That means we made it through the apocalypse.
It's true. Let us celebrate the non-apocalypse.
No, hold on. Next Monday is Christmas Eve.
Ooh.
So we'll
I'm
going to
be out of town, actually.
Right. We'll need to discuss.
I'll have to figure something out. We may skip next week.
Might have to, just out of... We'll be like two ships passing in the night.
Yeah. Good thing you mentioned that, because I probably wouldn't have figured that out until like Saturday morning.
Driving the car out of town.
Yeah. It's like, shit. Anyway. Well, thank you, by the way, for the gift. The absinthe will go to a good home. Mine.
Right. I plan on eating this meat stick on the way home.
I'm sure you will.
Or two meat sticks.
There's two. They're separate.
Two. It's heavy.
It's a full salami.
I like that it has girth.
You were always a girth queen.
I size queen.
No, you're a girth queen.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a very good Mad Men Christmas. Very successful.
There's no way this makes it home. There's no way. I'm going to start gnawing at this in the car. Not because I'm hungry, because I love meats.
No, if you eat that two entire salamis in the space it takes to drop me off and get to your home, you are never allowed to call me fat ever again.
It's true. I feel like this was a Surdix Christmas.
No.
No. Really?
No. Well, no. Surdix was the liquor.
Really?
Yes.
Because I thought the Surdix might have been the meats.
No, the meats came from our good friends at Cost Plus World Market.
Oh.
So.
All right.
And that was actually the first thing I had picked up for you was
really?
The meat.
All
so.
Right. It is a Mad Men Christmas.
It is
after
a Mad
all.
Men Christmas. All right. So yeah, at some point, either next week or the week after, we've got our nominations. We gotta start putting our list together for the Well Feddies.
That's what our intern's for.
Well, no, she's gotten the list together. We just need to make decisions.
She needs to forward said list to us.
She's forwarded it to me.
Well, you haven't said nothing to me.
Well, because you haven't needed to know yet.
I'm on a need to know. I'm part of this.
You're brought in when you're needed.
How dare you, sir?
You are, as far as planning goes, you are the fluffer.
Wow.
You are not needed until you are needed.
I'm a darn good
That didn't
fluffer.
Make any sense,
no,
but,
no,
but
I'm a darn good fluffer.
I that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
That's what I've seen written on bathroom walls.
Yep, that's how I do things.
Yep. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. Thanks to our sponsor, as always, HopChart.com. We welcome you on the Four Squares at foursquare.com/wellfedguidetolife, facebook.com/wellfedguidetolife, and twitter.com/wellfedguidefpg. Yes, I know.
I'm just wondering if this is the first time you've done this.
It's the first couple times.
I was curious.
Anyway, thank you again for listening. Stay tuned to the website. We'll have details for the listener's choice award.
Oh, and answer the trivia question.
And yes, there was a trivia question at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
If you can correctly guess it, just email us at wellfed@fancymansgangsters.com or leave a comment in the show notes or on the Facebook page. Just let us know somehow.
Right.
And Dave has promised everyone that gets it right.
No, one, the first person.
Every person that gets it
right. The first person that gets it
right. We can play the tape back. Every person that guesses it right. Even if someone
no.
were to write the answer in the show notes.
No.
Everyone that comments with the correct name of the reference, Dave will provide a $10 gift card.
Nope. That wasn't it. That was not it at all.
Fine. If you're only going to give it to one, I'm going to make you up it to 25.
No. I'm giving out one $10 gift card.
You're a cheap bastard. You
to know? Arby's.
Hey, $10 at Arby's can go a long
way.
That's
true.
If you try.
Yeah, that's very true.
Anyway, well, thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.